This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, good morning. You're listening to The Morning Run, 7:05 in the morning on Monday, the 4th of April. It's the second day of Ramadan. Selamat berpuasa to all those who are observing the fasting month. As we always do, let's recap how global markets closed on Friday last week.
In US, Dow up 0.4%, S&P 500 and NASDAQ up 0.3%, Asian markets, Nikkei down 0.6%, Hang Seng up 0.2%, Shanghai Composite up 1%, STI up 0.4%, FVM KLCI up 1%.
So quite green overall. Things seem to have ended on a pretty positive note last week. And for some thoughts on where global markets are heading this week, we speak to Song Seung-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking. Seung-Woon, good morning. Thanks for joining us today. Now, although the U.S. payroll slightly missed expectations and March unemployment fell to 3.6%, does this still paint a picture of an economy that is recovering from the COVID-19 pandemic?
Oh, that picture hasn't changed over the last year or so, essentially, as slackening economy are being taken up, whether you're talking about labor market or capacity constraint in the factory floors, services, as in-person activity pick up pace. So yes, simple answer to that is the U.S. economy still continue to recover from the worst of the pandemic and consumption, consumer continue to take things in stride.
So does this then mean that the narrative that we are hearing with regards to the pace and quantum of rate hikes as the Federal Reserve normalizes their monetary policy remains unchanged, despite the fact that we are seeing the economic fallout from the Ukraine war?
War doesn't seem to be a war as far as the market's concerned. Despite a mix of high energy commodity prices at still record level and rising interest rates, that is, we're still seeing consumers of, as I said, taking things in stride. It seems that the resilience in the labor market, the savings that they've got, and or perhaps for the younger one, the YOLO effect or the fear of missing out, still keeping things going, even though we have seen prices jump significantly. People are still spending, which is good, I suppose. And they are able to take things, as I say, in stride. Despite all the walls, actually the wall of worry has climbed even higher. And as a result of just things picking up on the demand side, I think central banks around the world, including the Fed, are looking at things on the demand side far more closely and worrying on the spillover effect on inflation and inflation expectation.
Okay, so staying on this topic, Fed minutes coming out later this week. I mean, what do you think it will tell us? Do you think it's likely that we're going to get a half percentage point rate increase in May? And maybe we'll know how the central bank will shrink its balance sheet. How important is this minutes?
Certainly, I would say still, I mean, we've talked about this before, and that the U.S. central bank is pretty late in terms of the rate normalization cycle. It should have started way back last year and end of last year. So whether there's room for 25 basis point hike, 50, or even in off-cycle adjustment, we shouldn't rule them out at this point. Certainly among the more hawkish member of the Fed, certainly the sound from them has been for more aggressive steps as consumers continue to remain resilient. Remember, I still say this is start of a new growth cycle. People still have spring in their steps, so they can take the adjustment on interest rate, I think, better than later on in the growth cycle. So yes, there is a risk that there may be a stronger adjustment. We'll see. So far, if we look at the PMI figures coming out, yes, they're having some impact on the margins on global manufacturing activities, but by and large, it's still fairly resilient, as the numbers show. I think where it shows more concern still is on the cost side. Businesses are facing significantly higher input costs, and they are passing them on to the consumer at a faster pace than ever before. So that's going to be what I think central banks are watching out for, to what extent consumer can continue to take those hikes in prices in stride, which we are seeing. So room for 50 basis point hike? Yes, there is, or more. in the coming months. But obviously, the impact from the war on consumption is still early at this juncture. People still are willing to spend rather than cutting back on consumption. So I would say strong growth still, notwithstanding the wall of worry that we're still seeing, as well as a rising interest rate.
U.S. Treasuries had the biggest quarterly loss on record with swift sell-offs. Help us understand why markets are so bearish, and does this mean that this asset has lost its safe haven status?
Well, this is where I think the different asset classes are showing different signs or signal about growth and earnings. Certainly in the equity side, we had U.S. and U.S. equities had the strongest month in April in a long, long time. It seems that dip buying continue to be the strategy to go, coming and rebounding well back from the Ukraine-Russian war kind of a lows. But as we've seen, prices jump significantly, and then we see spending picking up. Obviously, there is that worry. We talked about this earlier in terms of whether interest rate adjustment will have to be more significant. And three times last week, we have the 10-2 yield inversion. That is, the short end being much higher than the long end. Typically, in a normal yield curve, the cost of borrowing further out is higher because you're pricing in greater uncertainty, and rates normally, the cost of funds usually more expensive at the longer end. It has flipped this time around just because, yes, we are seeing growth and therefore perhaps more accelerated rate hike now, but the rise and quantum hike may cool down consumption and expectation of growth further down. So rates at the long end has tapered off. So this is where the worry of the recession comes in that growth further out may be more significantly affected by high price as well as higher interest rate. And as a result, we may see growth slow down, and which has been keeping national strategies also debating whether that is going to happen. I still think the risk of recession is low for now because people are thinking and of what to do and where to go as borders are being eased, etc. So people are still thinking of spending rather than curbing consumption at this point. So certainly for now, I think the risk of a recession in the U.S. is low. It's there, but it's low. But bond market says the risk is high or higher now, given the possibility of accelerated pace of interest rate increases. Okay. So hence all these different signals playing out at this point.
Right. And if we can turn our attention to China, Seng-Woon, the entire city of Shanghai is now under a lockdown as COVID cases surge. What impact will the complete shutdown of China's financial hub? And it's also the world's largest container port. So what impact will this have on their economy? Is the government's GDP target of 5.5% growth for China achievable this year?
Well, it may suddenly put Q1 at risk. We suddenly saw the March first 2 month PMI figures surprised on the upside, with restrictions tightened, especially in big tier one cities like Shanghai being tightened significantly. We suddenly saw activities cooling much more than expected in March. Taken together, it may not mean that much, but certainly we will be looking to see what will happen. It has certainly impacted supplies and knock-on impact on supply chain around the world, whether it's on the chip side, etc. So yes, that is another layer of worry that we are seeing impacting on the supply chain, which is already facing significant pressure points from previous year of supply chain disruption, plus obviously the impact from the Russian-Ukraine war also impacting on that front as well. So yes, as you can see, there's still plenty of uncertainty that could create, and put pressure on already high energy and commodity prices. But markets are taking it in stride. What markets, for instance, this week, towards the end of the week, has cheered was the fact that the U.S. Security Exchange Commission has agreed with U.S. audit and U.S. Chinese auditors in terms of having a look-see at the Chinese audit, for instance, and that has helped Chinese stocks in the U.S. and certainly may give stocks here in Asia a bit of a lift as well. So those kind of events are certainly the happy news seems to be cheering the market more than the not-so-good news, which is being put in the drawer for now.
Seng-Woon, thanks very much for speaking to us this morning. That was Song Seng-Woon, economist at CIMB Private Banking, giving us his take on some of the trends that we could see moving markets in the days and weeks ahead. Ending the conversation there with a look at China's economy and how it's being impacted by the lockdowns, pointing out that the recent news about China relaxing or at least allowing certain audit practices to take place could give a reprieve to their companies that are listed on the U.S. stock exchanges.
Yeah, what I want to focus on is actually more in terms of what the Fed minutes are going to reveal on Wednesday. I think I'm very curious to find out whether we'll get any hint of 25 or 50 basis points hike. Plus, what are you going to do with that substantial balance sheet, considering that Treasury saw a massive sell-off in the last month, the worst quarter on history? So does this mean that the Feds are going to do the selling now or wait for a little bit later, because it's not exactly good time to do it now? But I think there's other interesting news coming out of America. Well, not really America. It's related to China, but it's an American stock, and that is, of course, Tesla, right?
That's so right.
They came up with their production figures numbers. In terms of the first quarter, they delivered a record number of cars worldwide at 310,000 electric vehicles, and this is 68% higher than the same period last year and beat analyst expectations.
That's right. The company produced around 305,000 electric vehicles, 69% more than the same quarter last year. So business is booming for Tesla. The Model 3 and Model Y vehicles comprised 95% of deliveries in the first quarter. But of course, what happens in Shanghai with the lockdown now, that's going to weigh on future numbers, I'm sure.
Yeah, so because of the supply chain challenge and factory shutdowns in China, they think that they would be producing 4,600 fewer cars than it delivered, mostly because of the COVID situation. And since March 28, the automaker has temporarily suspended production at its Shanghai factory. And there's no news so far on when they're going to resume, because they were supposed to resume today, but they haven't quite announced that yet.
Well, very quickly, when I look at the Bloomberg and look at the consensus, I see more sells actually over the last few months versus buys, but still 22 buys, 9 holds and 14 sells for this name. Consensus target price, $1,084. Consensus target price, $947. Current share price, $1,084.
All right. So that is your update on global markets at 7:17 a.m. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.